think you're hearing
anything. Oh, my goodness.
Here we go, guys.
So if you like me, just turn off your hearing aid.
I don't have one yet.
All right,
you're being recorded.
All right.
I'm working.
So I don't know how many of you guys have ever done a men's study or Bible study or whatever, but you know the crazy thing about a time to hang out with a bunch of guys is to come up with what to say. So it's not really an easy thing, you know, to say, okay, well you're gonna get yourself in front of a bunch of guys and you're gonna be the one that's gonna bring what needs to be said you know, you want it to be relevant. I want it to be relevant. You want it to have an impact. Otherwise, why say anything? I'm going to turn music off.
How's that? Unless you like the music better than me.
Anyway, so you want what you say. I mean, Tom, you know, you teach a lot. And you guys various ones teach, and, you know, you want what you say to be relevant. But most of all, you want it to be the heart of God. You want it to be something that the Lord really wants to speak to each man. And so I had to laugh a little bit because when Ken asked me if I would teach, he said, I'll pray that you have a revelation from God. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. And so here goes like a week of work, you know. I got to work. I got a job, unlike some people in the room who's retired. But, okay, you have a honeydew list. So, you know, I go through a week of, you know, prayer and seeking God. And it's like, well, hey, Lord, what do you want to say? And what do you want to do? And, you know, I want to hear you. And you know, I'm reflecting back. I'm thinking through. And you know how if you study, you're listening. You know, you're listening inside and all that stuff. And as I tried to press in to hear God, all I found was a messy, dirty heart full of nothing. I mean, I was like, come on, Lord, I'm looking for your words. I'm thinking, and then I like ran over a curb and said something bad I shouldn't have said, and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm, you know, I'm at an end. It just left me doing one thing. Crying out to God, Lord, help me. Huh, what is wrong with me? Why? Where's all this? You know, I'm looking for you and to hear your word, and I want your presence. I want to be able to get your heart on everything. And then it dawned on me, voila, I got the revelation. I need a Savior. That was the revelation. I need a Savior. You know, and I think for you guys, for me, you know, all my best efforts are filthy rags. There's not a thing I can do without my Savior. I don't care if, you know, if it's my best day or my worst day, I need a Savior. Now, obviously, you know, maybe it's not obvious, but in my best days, I'm not sure I'm really thinking about needing a Savior as much. You know, I got this, Lord. You know, it's like your kids. Have you ever had these things where it's like, you know, they're like the first bike ride, you know, you're trying to help them along and you know, they ain't got it yet, but they're like, I got it. I'm like, okay, you know, crash and burn. And it's, I think there's a lot of similarities there between us and our lives and the Lord. And when we think we got it and when we know we ain't got it, one thing that really struck me, though, in the midst of all this is, you know what? I don't care if you received him and gave your heart to the Lord today or 40 years ago. We need the same Savior today, the same Savior today, tomorrow, every day. I need the same Savior. Yes, he's done great things. You might have noticed. You know, he has done great things. I look back on my life and look at all the great things he's done. Most of it I didn't understand. Maybe like 99.9% of it I didn't understand. I'm not sure I even understand it all today. But he's done a work. It's a pretty you know, a pretty amazing thing. But whether it's yesterday or 40 years ago, I still have the same need. I still have the need for that Savior, for my Savior, for Jesus. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is, you know, God never called us to get saved and then go do everything on our own strength. Right? He didn't say, all right, you got the plan, pat on the back of the butt, and on into life you go. You got this. But instead, I was thinking about these scriptures, and particularly in light of, thinking about these scriptures, and so Jesus said, I will never leave you, and I will never abandon you. And on in Hebrews again, it says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What can people do to hurt me? Another one in Hebrews 6 also, and also Psalms, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Excuse me, the one reference was the previous verse, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I think about these passages, I think how easy it is just to run by those passages. I mean, frankly, I don't know about you guys, when you sit down to have your quiet time, I mean, I could read a whole chapter and never even think about it. Or I can read it with a revelation of God and maybe get in like 3 or 4 words before I'm catching a revelation, I'm catching a truth. The Lord's speaking to my heart in a way that I, you know, I don't know, didn't get it from intellect, that's for sure. You guys might have noticed that part too. But anyway, I think about that, these passages, you know, I will never leave you, I will never abandon you, and that He is our helper, and I will not be afraid. And I think this really hits us at the core. You know, I've been left by people, I've been left by family, you know, I've been left by friends, I've been abandoned by others. I don't know about you guys, if you've ever had those feelings or actual things happen where people have left you in your life, that kind of got left alone. You know, many times in my life I felt like there was no one to help me. You know, it was all on me. It's my plan. I got to make this thing work. You know, in my strength, have to do it all by myself. And I think it's kind of more typical of the human experience and the human, what people feel like. You know, I felt attacked. I felt vulnerable to other people's attacks on me. So, you know, the passage and the words that I just read, I will never leave you, and I will never abandon you. That's huge. It's huge. You know, what a tremendous assurance that this Savior that I needed. You know, I don't remember, I don't know if you remember your, I guess you did, but I remember a time when I responded to a call of God for me to enter into this relationship. You know, I was 14 years old. It was at a tent meeting, if you guys know what those are. Some of you guys might know what that is. But you know, what's crazy is, you know, I may have left Him at times in my life, but He never left me. I look back at 14 years old, and I think, fast forward, we might want to skip through the teens and early 20s and maybe the 30s and some of the 40s. 60 is going to be a good one, no? But He never left me. He doesn't leave me today. You know, yes, we're called into a life of obedience. We're called into a life of pressing in. Yes, He wants us to spend time in His Word. I mean, obviously that's, maybe not obvious, but that's how we wash our minds and wash our hearts and get the revelation of God, is through His Word, through spending time with Him. I was also, you know, I've been amazed, actually, at how the Lord has been at work in my life. As I said, you know, since age 14, But even more recently, I find that the Lord is still doing things in me that I didn't ask Him to do. A change of an attitude. A slight change of course. You know, something where you all of a sudden realize, wow, that wasn't my thought. I wasn't going to do that, but, you know, I kind of like it. I think I like this. A new attitude or a new appetite. You know, a new, just something different where the Lord's kind of refreshing in me a bit more of Himself to kind of a little course correction. You know, not a, you know, not a rough, heavy-handed slap upside the head or behind the head or whatever, but instead something gentle, almost imperceivable. One thing I find about this too that's interesting is in that gentle correction, there's a little bit of a, will you receive it? Will you let me do it? Will you enter into this change I'm making in you? Will you accept it? Will you walk in it? You know, obviously by His strength. I mean, it's His idea anyway, from the very beginning. I think about the passage, Philippians 2:13. I often think of this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And that is cool. You know, again, we have our Savior. We've entered into that relationship. He hasn't left us alone, but He's also planning it all out. He's even planning in the part where we respond to Him, which is, to me, that's amazing. It's amazing because He does it all from top to bottom. The Hebrews passage, it says, the Lord is my helper. There it is. It's profound. You know, He's my helper. And I think about that internally. He's the one helping. He's the one working it out in me. Externally, He's the one that's working out the situations that I'm confronted with in myself and with others. You know, He's the one working out family things or friend things or business things or, you know, whatever, church things, all those things. He's working it out. So He is in and through all things which affect me as His child, you know, as a loved child of God. And the truth is, He's the only one who can help me. I can't help him. You guys can't help me. Maybe a little. Feed me breakfast. Great ham sandwich. But, you know, the Lord is really the only one who can help me. He's the only one I can really run to. And I think about this also in that scripture. It says, I will not be afraid. And it's interesting in that passage, He's saying, it's like a stake in the ground. And I will not be afraid. Now, I know the first thing that happens when I go and put a stake in the ground is if there's any attack going to come, baby, it's going to come right then. So, yeah, I'll make that declaration, but that's with the understanding that all my reliance is upon Him. All of my hope is on Him. It's not on my effort. And I remember many years ago when I was an awesome Christian, let me tell you. I think I said something like, all right, devil, I'm ready for you. I can take you. Oh, don't ever do that. You know, I got wiped out real quick. So I don't say that anymore. I think I'm more like, let the Lord rebuke you. I won't be doing any of the rebuking here. Thank you very much. The other thing, though, about this, you know, the next verse, the next part of it says, "And I will not be afraid." I will not be afraid. That's interesting because, you know, if you realize that God is our helper, then what shall we be afraid of? You know, one of the first things I think of is not external, but it's my own shortcomings. I will not be afraid. I don't need to be afraid of what God's going to do to me because He loves me. He's my helper. My helper's not going to also wipe me out when I make a mistake. You know, He's going to continually come alongside of me, continually be my helper. you know, the helper, the, you know, being Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever, the beauty of that is, hey, he extended his hand the first time. He died on the cross for me. None of that changed. Not based on my performance. Yes, he disciplines those he loves. I got a little bit of that from time to time. But you know, how does he respond to me as an imperfect child? With love, compassion, more help. You know, it's like those kids. You know, which ones do you spend the most time helping? You know, the ones that need the most help. You know, some of the kids don't really need a whole lot of help. They got it. They got it to an extent. So, I don't know if this speaks to you today. Maybe it's a good reminder. I was thinking about this, and one of the contexts, too, is like, okay, well, what's a good model? A good model is, what did Jesus say to the apostles? Right? That should be a good, pretty good starting spot. So what he didn't say is, you know, okay, you heard what I said. You saw what I did. You're witness to all this stuff. Now, go change the world. Good luck. You know? But instead, he said in Luke 24:44, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it stands written that the Christ who would suffer and would rise from the dead on the third day and repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And look, I am sending you what my father promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Okay? So not a bad model. I think he says the same things to us today. You know, like he opened their minds so they could understand, he opens our minds so we can understand. I remember, and I've spoken with others, had the same experience, that, you know, really prior to Jesus' help, I could read the scripture all day long and I don't get it. There's parts I just can't understand. Yeah, I can understand words on the page, but there's lots of parts you can't understand. You know, and I've heard testimonies where people have read the scriptures, didn't get it, got saved, all of a sudden, scriptures are opened up to them. And so I think in all those things, the Lord is the one who opens up our minds so that we can understand what he wants to say to us. You know, it's one of the reasons why it's super important to spend time in the Word every single day. And to really spend time in the Word, not just blowing through a chapter and checking it off, but taking that time. You know, I want to, you know, say, I don't do this always, but I really want my heart to be, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear you this morning. I want your guidance. And I'm not saying a sign. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I need your understanding. I need to be plugged into you. I need to be connected. I need to have that relationship. I need to walk that out with you. So knowing he's the one that opens our minds. And then for the apostles, he reminded them that they were his witnesses, which I don't know if you had that reminder lately, but we're his witnesses. Our lives is a witness. And so the Lord would say to us, hey, don't forget, you know, you're a witness. Your life is a witness. And then, super amazing and wonderful is he said that he was sending him what the Father promised. He told him to stay until they were clothed with power. Just like the apostles, the work he has for us cannot be done through our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit's leading for everything that we're doing in him. We need it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty dangerous if I'm not. Well, I'm just pretty dangerous. Just ask my wife. You know, a wrong word at the wrong time, versus a timely word at the right time. You know, having the sensitivity. I don't know, as guys, we don't tend to be that sensitive to things, to our kids, you know, or something they may say or something our wife may say. Yeah, you know. So I need the Holy Spirit's moving in my heart and mind, including protection. I need his protection. I need him to help me stay vigilant against temptations. I need to be open and aware and walking out in a way where the Holy Spirit is the one who's leading. It, for me, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but it's pretty amazing where when I feel like I'm plugged in and where I'm walking with the Lord, with the Lord, and I feel like I've connected with him, that as I walk through the day, of course, I talk to him all the time. I think you guys probably do too. I don't always hear a response, but I'm certainly talking, you know. Like last night when I got home and my shed was getting flooded. You know, why, Lord? No, there is that. So, you know, I am always talking to him, whether it's good or bad or whatever. I'm always talking to him. But when I'm plugged into him, man, my walk is joyful. My walk is peaceful. I don't expect anything. You know, I expect good things. It's just natural. I'm just walking with the Lord. It's all good. You know, even when it's not so good, it seems better, you know. I touched on this a couple weeks ago at our fellowship, and I just thought I wanted to mention again today is that, you know, today in our churches, I think we can lose the idea that the faith, the Christian belief that we're in is one that is a supernatural one. I mean, like I've already said, we can't do this in our flesh. I can't do it. I can't do this life without the power of the Spirit in my life. I can't. So if this is a supernatural relationship, then I should be hopefully walking in a way that's a little bit different than the world. You know, it's a little bit different than maybe how the world's take is on things. Instead, I mean, goodness, we're worshiping a supernatural God. We've been given the Holy Spirit, which is a supernatural being, to be within us, to guide us. And I think that's pretty profound and something we should spend a little bit of time thinking about. Is that the kind of walk that we're walking? Or is it one where, you know, just reading this, you know, la-da-da-da-da, whatever, and it's kind of rote and kind of just, you know, religion, dead religion. You know, there's a lot of things I see today in churches and elsewhere that you could actually accomplish most of that with just talent. Or determination, or with, you know, some system of men. Not much of the Holy Spirit needed. But I think that's not the work the Lord wants us to be heading towards. I think he wants to be. And the amazing thing is that, you know, the Lord himself, when he made the plan, our plan, the plan for us to be part of his family, he also chose to not do everything himself. He chose to involve us. He chose to have a relationship with us and to work out his plan of salvation through the world with us. And so I think likewise, you know, our thinking is to be transformed to be one where we're walking with him. We're always doing it with him. You know, one thing I like about this whole idea of, well, first of all, this whole idea of us being part of his family is it really kind of gives a great underpinning to everything else that we're doing. You know, you think about God, the Father, creating making us his creation and saying, hey, I want you to be part of my family. Not only that, I mean, we could take another left turn, which we're not going to do, but, you know, you think about the adopted son versus the natural born son. You know, we're all adopted sons. Well, adopted sons are actually a whole lot, in many ways, are a more special son than the natural born children because there was a choice. They chose to adopt a son. God has chosen us, chosen to adopt us. And it's not like puppies. You know, when you adopt a son, it's forever, right? Or a daughter. So anyway, that's a little, I'm a little off, a little all over the place there, but the point I wanted to get to is that, you know, we're not to be relying on our own human talents or own human abilities, but to be relying on God, to be relying on our relationship with Him, on the Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives, that we do need His Holy Spirit power to walk out to do all those things that He's put before us. I was thinking about, you know, this men's fellowship and how He not only designed us to be in relationship with Him, but He designed us to be in relationship with men, with other men. Obviously wives, etc. But, you know, it doesn't say in Scripture that, you know, woman sharpens man. I think it's man sharpens man, right? So there's something different there. There's something in fellowship that happens, that He wants to have happen. There's something in that togetherness. You know, the world would have us go off and do our things on our own. You know, I did it my way. There's a great song like that, right? I think they'll be singing that somewhere down there versus in heaven. But He wants us to be in a relationship with men, with Himself. And that's the plan, to be connected together. There's a bit of a random scripture. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says that a man who separates himself seeks his own. What was that, Scott?
I think it's he who seeks counsel is wise after that.
Indeed. So the idea there being, you know, it's easy for us guys to be isolated and to isolate ourselves and to enjoy that isolation. But it's better. I mean, when I have men in my life, it's a reflection back on whether my ideas are any good or not, if I put them out there. Or maybe I hear some ideas that I don't have to put mine out there because I just heard the rebuke of mine without having to say a word. But that, I think that's a relationship that the Lord wants to have happen. He wants us to be among men. He wants us to be in a situation where we're iron sharpening iron. You know, and reminding each other, you know, hey guys, you need a Savior. I need a Savior. You know, those kinds of helps. Anyway, I had a couple other scriptures. Was this a 3-hour study you wanted? Okay, good, because it's not going to be that. There's a couple other scriptures I wanted to talk about quickly. And again,
four
hours.
Okay,
good. I'll be not here for the last 3.5 of that. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. In the context, the reason I was looking at this is because we're talking about brothers. And it says, therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. And, you know, certainly as I was going through the study, there's parts of this was like, oh, Lord, I don't know where that fit. I don't know how it fits. Okay, but I'm going to put it here. We'll see. I don't know. But this is one of those parts, and one of the things that struck me here, again, you can read through Scripture and never even think a word about it or a minute about it, what you really read, or you can read it, and there's things that catch you along the way that are important. So one thing here, I guess, you know, part of it is it's kind of a refocus to say, Lord, you know, I want to present my body as a living sacrifice. And interesting in the word, the next word there is, says alive. You know, sometimes in our Christian walk, sometimes in my Christian walk, I feel like I have to kill everything. And so I'm basically a walking dead man. Instead of what the Lord is asking me to do here is to present my body a living sacrifice, alive and holy and pleasing to God, which, of course, we can do how? Only by the Holy Spirit. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test and approve what is the will of God. And so this kind of comes into another aspect of what was on my heart today, and that is that I'm confronted, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this as well, but I'm confronted more and more every day with lies, with the lies of the enemy, the lies of the culture, continually. And so I think, you know, again, to tie in, yes, I need a Savior. Yes, I need to spend time with Him daily so that I can test and approve, as Romans says here, what His will is. And so I can also see what all the falsehoods are. And I think as men, I mean, I think today, more than ever, men of God, we have got to stand up for truth. We have got to stand against what are lies. I try to stay off of Wastebook as much as possible anymore. But occasionally I jump on, and our neighbor had posted something that was just deeply disturbing. Deeply disturbing. So here's a Christian woman, professes to be a Christian woman, who interviewed and went to this whole thing about Reiki, about spiritual. It's this whole, you know, it's this whole idea of healing through, it's just a bunch of nonsense. And you see all this put out there on Facebook as an answer. You should go see this lady. She can heal you. And I bring this up only to say that, you know, this is, you know, where are they hearing truth? Where are people hearing the truth? Where are they seeing the truth? And what's our role as godly men when it comes to confronting that kind of absolute satanic nonsense that's being pressed on people out there? And, you know, we talk about the church, we talk about all these things, and it all comes back to us individually. Am I taking time with God every day? Am I taking time pressing into His Word and letting His Word press into me so that I can hopefully be a witness in this world that comes against this kind of nonsense? Because it, as I see it, I mean, it certainly is the days of Noah. Besides the rain, you know, it is the days of Noah. It's deceptive, and it's prevalent through all. You know, He wants us to be alive. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be pleasing to God. You know, some of that stuff I can't. It's hard for me to get a hold of. It's hard for me to see myself as being pleasing to God. There are times, you know, more of Him, less of me. Okay, none of me and all of Him, something like that. You know, He's pleased. He loves His creation. He loves us. And so He wants us to live alive. He wants us to be holy and pleasing to God. He wants our minds to be renewed by Him so that we can know His will and His ways. I like this other scripture. I'm going to read a couple to you and then we'll be done. Just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and firm in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Another one relative to the Holy Spirit and His guidance to us. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. And then it goes on in that passage in John, says, set them apart, in the truth. Your word is truth. And the last, then Jesus said, if you continue to follow my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, probably not the most tied up and tied together kind of study, but I think if you get nothing else from this morning, I think just the fact that we continue to need a Savior, and He calls us to spend time with Him, He calls us to be in relationship with Him, and then also with our brothers. So, comments? Thoughts?
I always just thought the simple fact Romans 12:1 was saying, if you present your bodies alive to God, it's well, you're already well, He's already well pleased with you.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the reasonable service. Here I am.
Amen. Amen.
And that's acceptable.
Well, that's like this morning. The prayer at the very beginning, it's like, Lord, here we are. You know?
That's what makes us acceptable. Well, that He did the work, but we're willing. The door's open.
Yeah, it isn't
to be pleasing to present myself to Him.
Right.
And I think we get that wrong. We try to get ourselves straightened out.
Right.
Cover ourselves with fig leaves or
right.
Dignity. Instead of just saying, oh, you just wanted me to say hi this morning.
Right. Amen. Awesome point. Anyone else? All right, let's have a word.
Well said.
Praise God. Lord, we just thank You for this time, and we thank You, Lord, just as Scott said, that You're well pleased with us when we just present ourselves to You. So may we present ourselves to You this day, mind, body, and spirit. We pray, Lord, that we might be the kind of witnesses that You desire for us to be. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.